you may notice I made some changes on that sheet there. So again? Just for the end.
Oh, right.
Just know it's coming up. Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores. Did we say Happy New Year?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy damn New Year.
Fuck 2013.
Seriously, it's done.
Get that shit
enough of that year.
Here.
My ass 2013.
My ass 2013 from the People's Republic of Portland.
Are there other swears I can use? I was trying to figure out how to fit them in.
Nestled in the heart of Ascadia.
Ascadia. We're going to earn that tag, that explicit tag. We're the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations, damn straight, about the intricacies of thinking locally. See what happens when we don't book a guest?
This is what happens, Larry.
This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps. what am I supposed to say?
Thinking globally. No, thinking locally with a global perspective.
That's right.
Whilst simplifying things.
That's right.
Irreverently.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I would mention that we cover things like bicycling and transit and trains.
That's it.
And today...
Whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
Bunch of old bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's an interesting dynamic when there is no one else in the room that we have to, like, put on a good face for.
Yeah, sure.
And the, well, it might be the irony of it because we're still talking to a fair number of people who will be listening to us say these things. But also, without a guest, I would predict that we're going to be at least a third down on actual, like, listens.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at least a third of the people that listen to the show...
That's the pattern.
...are going to tune out because we're not talking to someone they're interested in hearing about, which is fine. I'm okay with that.
That's totally cool. It's
what I do with Marc Maron. or many other shows. It's like, I don't have the time to keep up with all of these shows.
It's true.
I'll listen to when he talks to Artie Lang.
Yeah.
Which was a good episode, by the way.
I'll have to check that
out. They talked all about drugs and gambling.
I was in the middle of... Will Ferrell's?
Oh yeah,
I haven't. No,
he did a whole spate of interviews with everyone,
like all the SNL crew.
Yeah, yeah. And what there was a Will Ferrell with Fresh Air. There was a Will Ferrell on The Nerdist. There was a Will Ferrell on Marc Maron, and probably many others. Man. He might have been on All Things Considered.
I hope he doesn't have cancer or something.
Well, he never said anything about it. So we can probably assume
Yakov Smirnoff. That's who I was listening to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was a good one. Yeah. What was his catchphrase? It was...
In Mother Russia.
Right.
What a country. What a country. What a country. That's what it was. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And that was the gag that just died when the USSR fell. It was like, well, I guess my career as a comic is also now over.
Right.
Yeah.
But he was, I don't know if you listened to the,
I listened to the episode?
He's still kicking.
Yeah.
He's actually writing now?
Right. And now he's talking about, what is it, the Cold War of Relationships?
Oh, yeah?
It's like, I thought that was the...
I may not have gotten that far.
That's his, like, project or product that he's pushing now. Yeah.
Okay.
So if anybody, here's a shameless plug for someone we're certainly not getting paid from, WTFpod.com. Marc Maron's show is an excellent show with lots of funny people.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah.
And I've been more interested lately in his little, like, blurbs before the show.
Well, he's single and depressed, so.
Yeah.
Makes it way more interesting.
Little something to relate to there.
Yeah.
What are you drinking?
I'm glad you asked, Aaron. I just bought this Oakshire CDA. It's a Cascadian Dark Ale. O-Dark 30 is what they call it. And the Cascadian Dark Ale is a
So is that the beer that caught Osama bin Laden?
I would assume so.
Ah.
Either that or they caught him and put him into a bottle. But that probably wouldn't taste as good. It's a good beer. And the Cascadian Dark is a style that is relatively new in the history of beer. And I believe it came out of this locality.
And what makes a Cascadian Dark like different than, like, say, a stout or...
It's from Cascadia, and it's dark.
Good enough.
But not a stout. It's not like a thick beer. It's kind of like an IPA, but darker.
But dark.
Yeah.
So it takes the P.
I guess so. Yeah. So it's not a pale ale. Yeah. It's a dark ale. Yeah. And it's not Imperial or India. It's Cascadia. So I think we've parsed that out about as far as we can. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking Fuck-ola cola.
That's right. There are many ways to say that.
Folks, this is the name of the soda I am drinking.
That's right.
I'm not just indiscriminately swearing this time.
Right, right. As opposed
to Fuck-ola cola, pumped into the bottle for skeletons eat me foods in LA, California.
Eat me foods?
Slip and slide into www.skeletons.com. Hmm. Found on bathroom walls, and then a number.
Here, hold up the label so I can show it to the people. You could smile too, I guess.
Oh, I don't know. I thought it would work with the theme of the bottle.
Yeah, it could. I guess I'll
anytime, anywhere, with anyone. It says, actually, it tastes kind of like burnt wood.
Okay. I remember that. I think we sold a couple of those because I used to deal in sodas. Have I talked about this on the show before?
Maybe.
I used to sell
sodas. It's worth talking about again.
Yeah. And Fuck-ola cola was one that we sold just because, it has a funny sounding name.
Yeah. Skeletons, not so good.
Okay.
Not so good, guys.
Are they the ones that make like Jack Black cola or...
No.
Because there was a whole line of sodas that were like
Jack
really
Black
awful
was part
tasting.
Of the whole like Orca brand, right?
That, that's very possible.
That is owned up in Washington?
I think so.
It sounds like a shelter for young people. I really hope I didn't just knock the cola that is
right.
That is trying to keep this shelter afloat.
For the Day of the Dead. All those young skeletons that come out one day a year in Mexico
to dance.
Yeah.
No, this is actually really bad. I might have to go grab something else. Just
okay.
To wash this.
Well, there's a kombucha in the fridge just in case. And the idea that kombucha is going to make that taste better is saying something. I'm not a fan. So.
I'm not a huge fan of kombucha. Either.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember. I've
had it once on the show. It was
yeah.
It was that dollar deposit bottle with the cool little top
oh, right.
on it.
Did you buy it because of the deposit bottle?
I bought it because, the bottle looked really cool. And
you were convinced because of the packaging?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was. At least the glass, I mean, that's part of the packaging, I guess. The shape of the glass bottle is what sold me.
Yeah.
Even though I've never really been into kombucha.
Sure.
And then I get to the counter and the guy's like, that's a dollar deposit, not like regular ones. I'm like, what? And he like shows me the label.
Did you get it back? Like, did you go
yeah,
get the
yeah.
dollar?
I okay. mean, by that time I was committed,
Yeah.
I'm already there. But yeah, I did roll back there the next day.
Okay.
That was at Taylor Court Grocery Store.
Right. Which is, that's a great little spot.
Yeah.
It's kind
got
of
a
this...
walk-in beer fridge there.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Okay. I've never been.
The place is tiny. The place itself is tiny, but you get to the back wall and you can walk into this beer cooler, which is about half the size of the store itself.
Yeah. It reminds me of when I was in Boston, I went to a place called Atlas Liquors, which I don't know if they actually had a walk-in, but it was like the Walmart of alcohol stores, basically. Like, you go in and they've got hard liquor, wine, beer, malt liquors. They had like pre-made mixed drinks in little sealed shot glasses.
Really?
For those,
you could just buy a pre-made.
You could get like a Sex on the Beach if you didn't know how to make one. You'd be like, oh, I'll just get these four little plastic cups. And there's like booze in one side of the cup and some liquid, like whatever, goes into that in the other. It's either for the supremely lazy or the supremely uneducated.
Yeah.
One of the two. So, yeah.
The two tend to go hand in hand.
Totally. But the thing about living in Oregon is that you can buy beer anywhere. So the liquor stores tend to be smaller because they only have to hold so much stuff.
Right.
So, we had that contest about bikes in space. Did you finish the zine yet?
Did you? Oh, no.
Okay, good. We'll keep the contest running. We got a couple of submissions. We could probably read them later.
I was going to say, Johnny Kay's was really
It was pretty good. Yeah, it was pretty good.
I like that one the best so far. Oh, you know what we should do?
What's that?
Since we're talking about editing things out.
Yeah.
We should talk about like rides we want to do this year.
Good call.
It's a new year.
That's right. And we haven't actually made any public declarations about stuff, but we have some cool things like on the burner. So, we're looking at spring break, which is a time that I usually have off of from work, and a time that you are going to get off from work
that
to
is
join
right.
Adele
I have a shit ton of PTO.
Paid time off that you have not used?
That I've not used.
Because you're a workaholic.
Will expire in June. It's not so much that I'm a workaholic. I just can't plan very well.
Okay.
And so when I get like these plans of like, like going somewhere or like taking a weekend off to visit my brother.
Oh, yeah.
Like someone else has already booked that weekend.
I'm so you're just late to the table?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Guess I'll just work again.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Johnny K writes to us. Oh, we were going to talk also. this is terrible. We got to really edit this one out.
Oh yeah. I'll make you sound great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like jumped back a subject, but now I'm jumping forward to the subject we were just talking about.
To the
right
time
now.
Off and the bicycling and such. Yeah.
Yeah. We were talking about, worst day of the year ride.
Oh, right. Yeah. Because yeah. That's coming up like
February
month.
9th, folks.
Yeah.
So those of you who are in Portland listening and can afford the registration fee, go do it. There's also, I don't know if they do this every year or if this is new this year, but there's a sort of a pre-ride party the day before at the Lucky Lab down on Hawthorne.
Nice. Just to kind of get people excited about going out on the worst day of the year.
Sure.
Yeah. Or maybe to make that impossible or impractical.
Or just really hammer in that worst day of the year. You get really drunk the night before, so you're
exactly.
good and
so,
hungover.
So no matter
that
what
next
the weather
morning.
Is, it will be the worst ride of the year.
Wasn't it last year where it was actually kind of nice?
I think usually it's not. I don't know how they pick the date, but I think maybe like by the almanac it's supposed to be not so great.
Okay.
Or maybe there's no science behind it and they just they picked a year or a name.
The organizers are like, well, I got this weekend free.
Right, right. But I think it's in the middle of the winter, so it's never like amazing.
Right, right.
But it was a couple of years ago that I did that with Adam and Jordy Rust and their kids and a couple other folks. And that was, I remember it being pretty intense.
Oh, yeah.
Even though like the weather wasn't so bad, like we got sprinkled on maybe a little bit, but it was definitely like, it was a hard ride through at least two counties. Yeah,
counties. Yeah, it's like 50 miles, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So it's a decent trip.
That's a good stretch of the legs.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to do that this coming February.
Nice. So are you going to register or are you going to pirate the ride?
You know, this is a public forum, so I'm not sure if I can.
Of course you would not do anything wrong.
We were talking
about this before the tape started rolling. I don't think there's anything
I want
wrong
to do the right thing.
With riding, well, yeah, definitely.
I want to do the right thing.
But if you ride the route, especially if you can't afford to pay for the registration, that I don't think you can be faulted for that because they're public roads. But if you like the event and you want to see it keep going, you might get a free t-shirt or something too.
Yeah, there's actually a whole packet of stuff that you get by registering that.
Yeah.
It makes it pretty attractive.
And soup and snacks and such.
You know, I kind of want to register just so that they would announce our team name.
Mm.
But
right, which would be
Team Sincerity.
Right, yeah. We should show folks the patch that you made. You gave me and Adele both little patches for our... I guess it's like a bike team, like Team Sincerity.
I don't know what you would call it.
It's a loosely organized band of people that do rides together.
Has no real organization. It's I don't know. It's my way of being part of a bike club without actually being part of a bike club.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. Well, it's like all the best parts of the bike club because you get to choose like what happens there.
Right.
And how.
And who joins or who doesn't, which is anybody really.
Just no uncool people.
Did you ride with us? Okay, you're on Team Sincerity.
Exactly, yeah. Well, yeah, and we used that for Cranksgiving when we did that event.
Yeah.
You were not there.
I was not there.
But we still called ourselves Team Sincerity.
I wanted to be there, and you were, I remember, was it the night before or the couple nights before? You were like, I'm at a loss for a name.
Right, right. Oh, wait, like, did you suggest it to me?
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess that legitimized it then.
Yeah, okay. Totally.
Okay, there we go. That's the piece of the story that I forgot to tell Adele when she was asking that question, like, you know, was it legitimate or not?
Oh.
Apparently it was. That's
good.
Oh,
yeah, totally. I've got it archived right here in my texting history.
Beautiful. All right. So if we need to bring it up, we can certainly do that. Subpoenaed.
Yes. But yeah, that was a fun little process. It actually took me much longer to produce that than should have.
Okay.
And the text itself was heavily touched up, like, by hand.
Oh, sure. Well, stencils are tough and tricky.
Yeah. Well, detail. The more detail you put in into a stencil, like the more complicated or the more necessary it is to like make sure it sticks, stays down on whatever you're painting on.
Yeah. Do you ever connect stencil lines that are not physically able to be connected?
How do you mean?
Like if, say it's like a stenciled letter and you want like the N to connect all the way across or something like that. Do you ever?
Yeah. I don't know if you look closely, on your patch there, there's a couple of them that are like that.
Okay.
Maybe even on mine.
Okay. Gotcha.
I don't do it on purpose.
No.
It's just as I'm touching it up, I'm like, well, I'm here.
Right.
You know,
might as well take care of this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So you've got one on the back of your jacket there, which is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you were saying it's a sleeveless jacket.
The sleeveless suit coat vest thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what you'd call it. But yeah, this is something you guys gave me.
Yeah, I found it at Goodwill. And I was looking for a suit jacket for my DB Cooper thing. And so I saw that and I was like, oh, hey, it's a black suit. And then I looked at it and I was like, oh, hey, this is not my size at all. But it looked like
not even close.
Looked like it was your size.
It's kind of small on me.
I didn't try it on.
Okay.
But yeah. So you have the Team Sincerity logo on the back of that now.
Yeah, I stuck it on the back hoping, I mean, it's a silver paint. Maybe it's not like reflective technically, but it'll have like some reflective properties.
No, I think it is reflective. You keep doubting the nature of the reflective
material. The paint says it's reflective, but I have my doubts.
You also have authority issues.
This is true.
This is something on a corporate product. Yeah. But no, they look great, and I want to take a picture and put it up. So, speaking of designs, just got new stickers. So,
These stickers are badass. Thanks again, Marcus.
Yes. Thank you, Marcus, for designing us a brand new podcast logo. And the stickers are going to be available right now. In fact, they are on the street posts and bike racks all over town. If you want some, get in touch with us. If you've ever donated, I will mail them to you myself. If you want to help us out, I can give you my address. You can send us a self-addressed stamped envelope or a couple of bucks by the PayPal or whatever, and I will send them to you because they are nice. I actually almost feel bad for the people that just got the last old stickers because now they have old stickers.
They're collector's issues now.
Didn't mean to invalidate the set, you know, but so anyways, those are around. And the same logo, I just started putting that onto, well, not physically, I found this place called Spreadshirt. It's what Russ and Laura use for their t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And it happens to have some cool products on it. One is the Tri-Blend American Apparel shirt that is my favorite bike touring shirt. Because it's like soft enough to feel like a real, you know, it doesn't feel like athletic apparel, I guess. It's kind of, it's not like fleecy soft, but you know, but soft as opposed to like something that's made from 100% oil. This is like 30% oil or something like that. But yeah, those t-shirts are available. And so, we're probably going to put some designs up and make those available pretty soon, but they also have mugs and, coffee mugs and beer steins, I guess. I just put,
and there isn't like a minimum.
There is not. No, you could be the only person in the world with the product that we have, you know, that's there. So, anybody can have one. So I just put the mug and the stein up on like a new store area of our website, thesprocketpodcast.com. So if anybody wants one, they are there. If nobody wants one, you know, what the hell?
That's all right.
It's not costing us anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyways, and we're hoping to work on some t-shirt designs. So
I'm getting there. Yeah.
No rush, you know, take your time. But
keep going.
Just the most important thing being like, if there's a product on Spreadshirt that you want, and this is what I actually did with Russ and Laura. I was like, hey, I like that Tallbeck shirt, but it was on 100% cotton. I was like, hey, could you put that design on one of their Tri-Blend shirts? And so they did. And it worked out pretty nicely.
Now, is it true that Tallbeck icon was somewhat based on your Tallbeck, or is that just
It's
rumor?
A similar shape. It's not the same, but it's probably just a rumor.
Okay.
It's my guess.
All right.
I don't know if they had me in mind when they put that design together or not. But I felt like once I saw that it was available, I felt like I had to buy one just to kind of support them. So, yeah. But yeah.
Speaking of designs, though, for Christmas last year, I got a Wacom tablet, which is one of those with the light pen and
Wacom.
Yes, Wacom is the brand or is the company that makes these.
I think this is the first I've heard of it.
Oh, yeah.
So how does this work?
So, you know, it's a tablet.
Like an e-reader tablet?
No.
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 See, like an iPad? No.
No. No.
Like a cuneiform tablet.
Yes.
Made of clay.
It's like an abacus. So, you know, it's a flat surface that like can magnetically or electronically read this pen that also comes with it. And
okay.
You know, it aids with designing and drawing
right.
on your computer. You know, you hook it up via USB. And I'm bringing this up because I'm using this for the first time. I've had this for well over a year now.
And yeah.
And I'm now like
you have time
set
now.
Up and with time to be able to like figure this out. And
okay.
It's pretty cool.
But this is, so it's an electronic device.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember I had one of those for the Apple II back in the day. Not that one, but.
No. Like, yeah. The technology itself is really old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like a touch stylus sort of setup.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think at one point they were just like in the early days, they were just light pens that you drew on.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Like, sorry, I got the hiccups here.
Oh, it happens.
That fuck-ola cola.
Mitch Hedberg said, wouldn't it be great to live with a monster because you would never have the hiccups?
Hey, that would be great.
The guy's pretty smart.
Very observant, that Mitch Hedberg. What other rides we doing this year?
We were looking into spring break from San Francisco to San Luis Obispo.
With old friend Trent.
Yeah, he lives down there. And so I need to try and get in touch with him. I left him a Facebook message. So I need to either give him time to respond to that or call him up and be like, hey, can we stay at your house?
He's going to listen to this episode and be like, what?
Or more than that, just like... Like, hey, we'd like to see you even if we don't stay with him.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, have a couple drinks, ride a few miles with him.
Yeah, totally. The ride from San Francisco to SLO is about a 5-day ride, I think, and goes right through Big Sur. So I'd be very excited to see that country again. Because last time I was there, Big Sur was all foggy and I saw nothing.
Apparently, I would like it's very to see beautiful. That. Yeah, yeah, everyone says. I would like to see that for the first time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, and you have not been to San Francisco, is that right?
I've not.
Okay, so this would be a good time to pass through. Go to Haight and Ashbury.
Yes, of course.
Wish for the days of the Beat Poets. and then the summer trip.
I can discuss the accuracies of that Ginsberg movie.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, if only Portland's Poet Laureate could be in San Francisco to have that conversation with you.
Yes,
at a time that would when you were least prepared for it.
That would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
The other trip that we're looking at for Adele and myself, and I think you're going to join us in the first part of it, is from Portland to Missoula, where your brother lives.
Yes.
And then from Missoula to Boston. So that's something that we've always wanted to do, kind of like cross the country. And everybody asks whenever, you know, I'm sure anyone who's gone bike touring and hasn't been doing the cross country ride is probably, you know, you bump into somebody and they're like, oh, are you biking across the country? And you have to say no. And then whoever asked the question is really disappointed.
Or at least trying hard not to look too disappointed.
Well, you know, never mind the fact that last time we were doing that, we did like 2,000 miles. We could have done that. That's 2/3 away across the country.
That's
I think.
True. Yeah.
So we could have said, effectively, could have said that we were.
Well, you spent a lot of time in Colorado just going back and forth, right?
Colorado is really nice.
Yeah.
I would do that trip again, and I would change nothing about it except for... I would drink less beer before leaving Fort Collins because that's, I think, why I got altitude sickness in the Rockies.
Ah, yes.
But yeah, that was a good trip. So I think we're going to try and connect Portland to Boston. And now that this is public, if anyone is out there, I know we'll be going within at least 50 to 100 miles of Steve in Wyoming because he's right up there on the Montana-Wyoming border.
Oh, yeah?
And we're going to be going from Missoula out through North Dakota, all that stuff. Through Minneapolis.
Through
which,
North Dakota?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, kind of. As I understand, Williston is not a great place to be on a bike right now because all the oil fracking and trucking industry is it's fuck all for anyone who wants to... Well, it's basically it's fuck all for everything.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see Williston because it's such a boom town. I saw it from the train when we were coming back from Boston a couple weeks ago.
It was nothing before the fracking.
It was pretty small.
Yeah.
But now it's like, actually, there was, I'm trying to remember what was there. It was a hotel with like a big black drop of oil as the logo. And it was like the Black Gold Inn or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. And everything else, like just looking from the train, a lot of Williston is like trailer parks and motorhome villages and like,
all temporary, like set up,
yeah, just like
kind of stuff.
Rows and rows of like itinerant housing for anybody who's, you know, like I assume a bunch of single dudes that all go out and rape the earth during the day and want to go out and like throw money at strippers at night
and
or something like that.
I don't know.
I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to make allegations that aren't true. But
no.
But it just seems like
was
kind of a boom town,
inappropriate there,
kind of a man camp town, you know. So I'm interested in what Williston is like these days, but I don't think I'd want to bike through to find out.
No.
Because I'd probably get like, someone would probably yell bad things at us as we did that. So,
and that would just really ruin the trip altogether.
really dampen everything. But I've never been to Minneapolis aside from being in the St. Paul train station.
Oh.
For, what is it, a 45-minute layover or something like that. But Jeremy Mendelson from Critical Transit lives there right now. And it's where Laura Recker, who put on Cranksgiving, is from. And I think there are probably other people I know that are there. Well, listener Dan in Minnesota, actually. Where does he live?
He's from northern Minnesota, though. Outside of Bemidji, yeah.
Bemidji, that's it. Yeah. So, anyways.
Which in the summer is very beautiful.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are places we could go to. And then also Quebec. I don't know if we're going to make it that way or not.
How are you going to do Quebec?
With a passport.
Well, okay.
But yeah.
Ask a stupid question.
No, that's cool. I would really like to do, like, I've always heard Quebec is the only walled city in North America, and it sounds awesome. So, hills be damned. We'll go across the border and ride up to the French-Canadian sector and see a bunch of old stuff.
Right on.
Now, we'll see if that works out or not.
Again, this being a public forum.
Yeah.
Feel free to answer as
I claim the fifth
as your comfort. Yeah,
I claim
like,
a fifth.
Like,
something.
would you just find a backwoods way to get over the border? Or would
Oh, no. No, I got a passport.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would rather have that. I think, although, wouldn't it be easy? I mean, that's like the
it's
the
not
biggest
very
unguarded
patrolled,
border.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then if you get caught, then you're in trouble.
Then you're kind of fucked.
Yeah, exactly. So that was I just saw a Serious Man. Where at the end of that film, or towards the end, there's like the dream sequence where like the guy's brother is boating over to Canada to get away from, you know, his charges that the law is against
him. I haven't
seen
this movie yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No.
Should I tell you this or not?
Yeah, go ahead. It's cool.
And then the goy neighbor is out like hunting with his son, shoots the brother in the head as he's paddling away.
Holy fuck.
And then like turns the gun and points it at the main character. But then he wakes up and it's all a dream.
Oh.
But I was just thinking about that from crossing the border into Canada.
I've often dreamed about crossing the border into Canada and not like looking back.
Just like leaving it all behind.
Yep.
but then you have to go to like Quebec, I guess, or something. Hide behind the walls.
Right. Yeah. I'd have to figure out a way to like become a person over there.
Lay low for a while. Well, if you went far enough north, you could join the, you could join none of it.
None of it?
Yeah. Yeah. The First Nations nation that lives up there. I believe I'm trying to remember what the arrangement is like, because I think they have this like they still kind of have their sovereignty, but like the Commonwealth of Canada has is it a Commonwealth? The nation of Canada has like claimed all the land around them. So
okay.
So they have one of those interesting
like a reservation
situations.
System?
I guess, yeah. But it's far enough north that, like, you know, basically you can do whatever you want to do. So none of it. Yeah.
I might check them out.
Yeah.
Things get bad enough.
And they have 20 words for snow. No, yeah. I think you would definitely be far enough away from things. But now, again, public record, people know where to look for you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
I go missing.
Don't leave your bills unpaid.
No worries.
They come and take it out of your seal hide later on.
I try to keep my bills.
Did I just say something racist?
Seal hide?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
All right. Because if you went to none of it, you would actually be
hunting seals. I imagine so.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that is a little stereotyping, isn't it?
It is. I don't know much about them.
Yeah.
Other than I think I learned about none of it on...
We now have just revealed our ignorance and we'll...
That's right.
We'll work on it.
Yeah.
And sorry if we've offended anybody.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. So anyways, that's the plan. And then probably a train trip back across America again.
Hey, how was your train trip back this way? No, you talked about that.
Yeah, a little bit. It was good.
Never mind. Forget I asked.
No, well, did I say anything about the family car, all the kids?
No.
I may have mentioned this. I don't remember if I mentioned it on
air or
not.
I remember you talking about befriending some dude and stealing his pretzels.
Yeah, that happened. I felt bad about that. Sorry, Connor. And the car that we were in just had a bunch of kids, but they were all really well-mannered kids. And the parents were, on the whole, really good parents and doing their job well. Even when, like, you know, even when their
tempers were flaring.
Yeah, it wasn't so bad. It was understandable given the fact that they'd been in the same train car in the same seats for like 36 hours.
Right.
So, yeah, I was impressed by that. I did mention, I think, last time that I was reading about the future of reading. So we haven't really talked about that yet, have we?
The future of reading?
Yeah.
No, we have not.
Yeah. Again, episode 14, we talked to Adam Caress, who did an interview with Sven Burkertz. Sven Burkertz wrote the Gutenberg Elegies, and he was talking about the importance of making time to read. And specifically to read fiction, which I was interested in, and I didn't realize that this was the direction he was going to take it. But apparently he says that, you know, like reading the novel is a pastime where if you can get enough time away concentrating on a thing that is not here or there, it's almost like a trance or a meditative state.
Huh.
And it's really good for your head because, you know, you're not quite here, but you're also not quite in the world of the novel, and it gives your brain time to make these connections that your brain would not otherwise make. So he talked about that.
So let me throw a soft pitch out there for
please
you.
Please do.
Wouldn't television do the same thing?
That is a good question.
Does he address that at all?
I
thought this would be one you could just like easily knock out. Apparently not so much.
Well, it is, I think, part of the problem that he has with all the electronic media. And this references a little bit of, what's the guy's name? Marshall McLuhan wrote the book Understanding Media,
mm-hmm.
and came up with the media is the message.
Yeah.
Guy from the 60s.
Yeah.
He was a pioneer apparently in like thinking about electronic communications and the idea that, at least, you know, you're choosing your programming when you're reading a novel. When you're on the television, not necessarily. So pair that with the other book that I got called The Shallows, which was about like the nature of electronic reading and what the internet is doing to our brains, I think is the subtitle of that book. And I think what I took away from both books was that not necessarily that like it's bad to read electronically, but that it's bad to put yourself in a situation where you are constantly distracted. Both authors take issue with the idea that, like, in an environment of, they call, quote, hypertext, which is maybe, like, anything with the word hyper on the front of it kind of sounds dated now,
yeah,
just because, like, we're in a different age. But, like, exactly. Just like that. But the idea that if there are links in the text and you're constantly clicking from one thing to another, constantly jumping from one place to another, you're never really in one place long enough to focus on the cohesive thoughts. So like, for example, if you have a Kindle or another e-reader and what used to be a print novel now has like little links in it, you could like follow any link that you wanted to. You may never actually have enough time to get into this like deep reading phase. And the deep reading
phase.
This
is like everybody's issue. Well, they may not have an issue per se, but this is like everybody's problem with reading Wikipedia articles.
Right, because you end up like, I don't know, Ray Charles when you started with the state of Alaska or something that. And you have no idea how you got there. I made a couple of interesting changes so far. Number one, let me show you in my breast pocket here. I have a commonplace book, which apparently were all the rage back in, what, the Enlightenment or something like that?
Oh, yeah?
Way back in the day, because
people just kept little pads of paper.
People would keep
them.
A little book that they carried around with them, and then they would like open it up and write in it and read their old thoughts and that sort of thing. Apparently, it was like the smartphones of the Enlightenment era, because teachers had a problem with kids like
writing
in their commonplace book instead of something else. So, but I started carrying this around because, like, at some points, like, I just want to keep track of my thoughts. So I got all kinds of crazy shit written down in here. Like, I have a to-do list in the back, and then the front I have all these, like, you know, like planning for possible trips and what I'm going to do about my smoking habit and weird dreams that I want to like write down, which speaking of which, now that I've written down some dreams that I've had, I'm like, oh yeah, these dreams make a lot of sense because they're really weird when you wake up. But looking at like what the dreams were about compared to what I was thinking about the day before, it's basically a, you know, a weird reshuffling of all those thoughts. So anyways,
you realize you're going to have 7 years of feast and 7 years of famine.
That's right. Yeah. So I started carrying the Commonplace book in my pocket. And that's, I guess maybe it sounds pompous to call it something big like that. It's a little book that fits in my pocket, but just like having a place to write things down and trying to spend less time in the electronic environment, because the electronic environment is good, but it's also kind of like fast paced and whatnot. So there's that. And then the second part that I was looking at was like trying to reduce the amount of notifications that I have on my machines. So like I had the Google notifier, for example, on the laptop or the desktop machine. And I ended up taking it off because whenever email shows up, it pops up there and I'm like, oh shit, I got to check my email now.
Oh,
who wrote to me? That sort of thing. And that and the other thing, like...
and depending on how many things like you're following or subscribing to, you know, that thing could go off like every other minute.
Right. Or if you host a podcast and people write in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying you shouldn't write in. Please write in at the Sprocket Podcast.
Well, now that you have notifications turned off, it won't be as
much. Right. Write as much as you want. Definitely. But yeah, just the idea that like that was kind of taking me away from one thing to another and to another thing after that. And so like the frenetic movement from one place to another, from one thought to another, and never really being able to take as much time to think about things, which I actually did some of this before, but on my iPhone, that's not a phone, basically it's an iPod Touch. I tried to reduce the number of notifications that show up on that thing too. Cause like every time something pops up at the top of the screen or an alarm goes off or an alert buzzes or something like that, that's moving me from one mode of thought to another, and usually not to something that's so important that I really need to sacrifice all that mental time. So yeah, basically the idea is keeping time to think deeply as you read deeply.
Yeah.
So I like the idea.
Some of that I imagine can run somewhat counter to kind of our day-to-day operations or our day-to-day norms of what we think. Yeah, things, how to respond to things like text, for example.
Yeah.
You know,
like SMS?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone sends you a text. The way the normative behavior is, you know, you respond to that right away. They're like quick, you know, one-offs to each other. Like,
civil response.
Hey, do you want to go here? Yes, no, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, just, yeah, simple things.
Best day ever.
But, yes. But we're not necessarily, I don't know, that's a very recent thing, you know, to be connected to each other constantly.
So constantly and so closely.
For these things. Yeah. And you know, you have a system and I have a system where we're not necessarily in touch with our other friends and relatives and whatever, in that same vein. And so it runs, it can be problematic sometimes where you have somebody texting you and they're expecting a response fairly timely.
And they don't get it back.
And they don't
like
get it back.
2 hours
later. Yeah, yeah. And they're like, well, what the fuck, man?
I thought we were friends.
Yeah, yeah.
We are. We're just electronically tethered differently. Yeah. Yeah. The other thing is like if you buy a smartphone or any machine, like usually they arrive with the settings set to distraction. Like you're going to get distracted immediately when you open this thing up because every notification is on and there's like flashing lights and banners and sounds and everything. Yeah. And like, unless you specifically say, I don't want this, you have the option to be distracted at any point. So again, obviously we're making a podcast which people listen to using electricity on electronic devices. Not saying that's a bad thing, but the more distracted you are, like the less time you're going to have to think about like, what am I actually going to do as a person, as opposed to like trying to keep up with all these, at some points, kind of like artificial urgencies. So, yeah, but I highly recommend it. Again, The Gutenberg Elegies by Sven Burkertz. And I should link to the article because my brother-in-law did an interview with that guy for that music site that he ran called Mule Variations. And then Nicholas Carr's The Shallows, What the Internet is Doing to Our Brains. So, sounds insidious. And actually, both of these guys kind of sound like they could be like taken as alarmist.
Okay. I was going to say, do they draw like too distinct of a line?
I think Sven Burkert's could be taken that way. I don't think he actually does. And actually, the most recent edition, the book first came out in 96, which is practically before the internet was invented. And then there's a 2006 reprint or like new edition with an intro and outro. So he kind of wraps his old thing about how much he loves books in this idea of like, well, now I live in, you know, the next millennium and electronics are everywhere and I do use them. Basically, he said because he doesn't want to be a dick. Because like if you're an author and you work in books, these days you don't send somebody a typewritten manuscript because like someone's going to have to type all that into a computer. So you might as well just save them the work and be a good
person.
Send
them the electronic file.
Do the right thing. Yeah. But yeah, kind of couching it in today's situation, which is admittedly a lot different than in 1996. The other one just came out in 10 and 11, I think. I have the 11 edition, and so it's a little more up to date with maybe more current issues. But yeah, both could be seen maybe as kind of alarmist, but also like if you don't assume that, you can get some really good information. I think some really good perspective out of it, and it's good to challenge your assumptions every now and again. Like me, I'm going to put on some Lycra here as soon as it gets warm enough to go out for a race for Steve in Wyoming. Because I'm long overdue on that. So, yeah. So those are my deep thoughts.
Those are nice. Those are good.
You got any deep thoughts?
I've got some thoughts on traffic.
Tell me.
So here's something I'm observing in the new year. And maybe it's just because I have been off the bike for a long time and then getting back on the bike. But
you're back in the jungle.
I'm back in the jungle. Yeah. It seems like there's a lot more cars on the sort of the greenways, you know, the bike paths or the bike roads.
Uh-huh. The bicycle boulevard, the neighborhood greenways.
The neighborhood greenways.
I used an antiquated term. Excuse me.
That's all right. There seems to be a lot more cars on there than there used to be.
Yeah. Are they parking in the green bike boxes?
I'm not talking about parked cars.
Or are they stopped in green boxes? Like, are they where they're not supposed to be on the road?
I haven't run into as many stopped in the green boxes as I used to. I used to get really irate at that too.
I would
pull right forward. Even if I had to like put my bike sideways in the green box, I would try my best to get right in
front
of them.
Northwestern pass aggressive.
Isn't it though? They must have all come from the Midwest first.
Right.
It just seems like as I'm biking throughout the city these days, it seems like a lot of cars are maybe in order to avoid traffic. I mean, that's an assumption there too, but there just seems to be a lot more cars on the greenways than there used to be. A
lot of motor vehicles.
Yeah. I was wondering like if that's something that you have witnessed or.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I feel like traffic has gotten worse than it was a couple of years ago. Maybe it's just the parts of town that I'm driving in with the school bus these days, but I spend a lot of time behind the wheel of a school bus and it does feel, I'm also driving right through the center of downtown. Like I drive across Burnside every day, which actually is way faster. Here's a little pro tip for anybody who does need to use a car. It's way faster during rush hour to drive across downtown on Burnside than it is to try and use the freeways.
Oh yeah.
Way, way faster. So yeah, but it does seem like there's a lot of people on the road. So, yeah, I guess that more, you know, it makes it very important and urgent to share the road and be nice.
I'm trying my best. It's hard for me to be civil.
No, I was talking about the car drivers. But it's also important, no matter your mode.
No matter your mode.
You could be on a longboard.
It's true.
Yeah, you just have to, you got to be nice to people.
It's
tough. Being nice is really
tough. Well, and, you know, I understand the bike boulevards or the greenways or whatever we want to call them, the roads with the sharrows. Mm-hmm. I understand that those aren't exclusive to bikes. And in fact,
the St. John's Bridge,
the first LA Blue, interview that was done before I was around.
Oh yeah.
Critiques that pretty well. Uh-huh. I thought about how, it's sort of a misunderstanding that that's a bike only or a bike safe road.
Sure.
You know, especially when you have Sharrows on the on the St. John's Bridge, you know, yeah. And other not so safe places.
Like, it's an indicator, but that doesn't mean like everyone should be biking here all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you know, the streets like Clinton or Lincoln.
Neighborhood greenways.
Yeah.
St. John's Bridge,
just seem,
not a neighborhood,
seem to
nor
be,
a greenway.
Right. Yeah. Good point. But they just seem to be chock full of cars these days.
Yeah.
And I think maybe I'm noticing it or I'm more sensitive to it these days because I'm riding a lot of times with somebody who isn't as used to riding with traffic as I am.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes that annoys me.
Yeah. You're with the inexperienced.
Yeah.
With the newbies.
I'm not the most patient person in the world. Surprise.
It doesn't come easy.
No. But yeah. And so, you know, this person who shall remain nameless, mm-hmm. They get rather nervous when there's cars on the road. And, you know, so I've always tried to make a concerted effort to stay away from those roads. You know, if it were me just biking on my own, I'd bike down Gleason any time of the day.
Sure.
I have no real trouble with it. And I think, I don't know, this may sound a little pompous. I think I'm aware enough and safe enough that it isn't too much of a bother for me.
That's really pompous, man. The fact that you think you can bike anywhere just because you're safe.
Right, right.
No, it's not pompous at all.
Yeah. But
yeah, yeah.
But, you know, trying to take roads that I generally assume are less trafficked and then finding them choked with traffic has been getting on my nerves these days.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we can only hope that the demise of fossil fuel availability comes soon. And we can do that by, well,
using as much oil as possible. Just use it all up, folks.
It's going to get worse before it gets better. Everybody go out and drive a car.
Just you know what? Don't even turn your car off. At the end of the day, just let it run. Man, every day, go fill up that tank.
Can you imagine what a terrible world that would be if no one ever turned off their combustion engines? I mean, yeah, that's kind of like, yeah. So it's kind of the way that we do it now because, like, we have a bunch of electricity coming from coal plants. But yeah.
that is true.
That'd be terrible. Yeah. But it just happens in places where we don't notice it. Yeah. Yikes. Well, hey. How about some headlines? Let's read something
some
encouraging. That's a joke because the first headline's not all that encouraging. But
oh, and we're gonna read some of our we'll do that in the mail section.
Okay.
Yeah, the stories that we've gotten for our
sounds
comments.
Like a plan. How about some headlines?
Let's do some headlines.
All right, here they come.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike?
I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights.
Pedal just as fast as we can into the morning light. Pedal just as fast as we can.
All right.
Probably the most perplexing headline I've read these days. From the Mail Tribune, submitted by listener Dion.
Which he called the "Here's another crappy piece of crap." I think that's what he said on Twitter.
Psychologist convicted of mountain bike sabotage returns to practice.
Yeah. Which is just fucked just up. Like, he's a psychologist.
The former Jackson County psychiatrist who vandalized mountain biking trails in the Ashland watershed says he regrets his past actions and is moving forward with a new psychiatry practice.
Psychiatrist, excuse me.
Jackson Tyler Dempsey, 58, was charged in August 2012 of fourth-degree assault. I don't know what fourth-degree assault is, but assault is just kind of...
Right, assault's pretty bad anyways.
And two counts of recklessly endangering another person after he admitted to stringing nylon cord and laying nails and vegetation across trails in the Ashland water. Dude, this guy needs a psychiatrist himself.
Seriously, that's what would be called clinically a dick move.
Yeah. Yeah, I do believe that's the clinical term.
Well, there
it,
was
yeah.
there was also the someone either had like a nylon wire or like Saran wrap set up at the Lad Circle here in Portland because they were also unhappy about like bicycle habits or that sort of thing. Yeah. Anyways, sabotage and ambushing people with things that can hurt them. Not cool.
Not cool. Dempsey told a Forest Service arresting officer that he vandalized the trails because he did not like mountain bikers, according to a Forest Service report. Dempsey said he apologizes for any harm he caused to his family and the victims that have come forward with injuries. "I'm very sorry for what I did," said Dempsey. "It was never my intention to hurt anyone."
Which is a well-crafted legal phrase, but doesn't yeah. seem like accurate.
Yeah, if it was not your intention, never mind.
Yeah, Maybe he's a good person after all.
Dempsey pleaded no contest to his charges in May 2013 and was sentenced to 30 days in jail, which he served as house arrest.
Which is kind of cheating.
Yeah. He was ordered to pay $2,400 in restitution and serve 2 years of probation, which includes staying out of the trails in the Ashland watershed.
Yeah. That's a fascinating story. I remember when that first broke. It's just, it's kind of nuts.
That is just weird as fuck.
Right. Like, why... yeah, I mean, there's a lot of situations where you just say, like, how does this happen and why? It just yeah. doesn't make sense, but...
This is one of those situations where I'm like, curious enough and I want to dig deeper, but I'm afraid if I just keep digging, I'm going to go mad.
Sure,
I'll yeah. end up, like, swallowing my own face or something.
Yeah, well, and that's no good. You'd be an ugly person after that. Yeah.
The Oregonian... pantsless Max ride took place again.
That's right.
Yes, we missed it again. Downtown Portland's Pioneer Courthouse Square became lively Sunday.
Here's
Sunday, that's my day off.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
So you could...
I could have done it.
You're not a guy who's going to take his pants off in public, though.
I'd leave that's my not your undies style. On.
Okay, well, I guess, yeah, okay.
I'd clip my suspenders to my undies again.
Okay. Well, good to know. All right, so next year then. Next year in Jerusalem.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm not in such good shape these days. I have to train for it.
Okay. Train for the pantsless Max ride.
Yes. Downtown Portland's Pioneer Courthouse Square became lively Sunday afternoon when over 50 curiously dressed people piled out of a Max train.
I think that's curiously undressed.
It says dressed here. Security guard Michael Elwis took note of the bare leg group, but wasn't particularly alarmed. The No Pants Max ride is an offshoot of a New York event that began in 2002, organized by Improv Everywhere. The No Pants subway ride started with 7 participants and has grown to 4,000 pantless people as of last year.
Yeah.
According to their website, the movement had events planned in over 60 cities worldwide, from Amsterdam to Lisbon to Washington, D.C.
Where is Lisbon?
Spain.
Yeah? Oh, okay. Portland, pantsless Spaniards.
Pantless Spaniards.
Yeah. Is it pantless or pantsless?
Yeah, well, over there it'd be...
No pantalones.
Pantalones.
Right. Pantalones. Yeah.
I had to think about that for a second. Dad's proud. Portland organizer Jensen says she will definitely coordinate the festivities again next year, which included pre- and post-mixing at the Dixie Tavern, which is
it's a sexy place in, like, Old Town Chinatown. It seems to me like, I don't know, if you go to Dixie, you want pants on, I guess.
Next year, there are plans for a family-friendly option. Wait, wasn't this supposed to be family-friendly to begin with?
Well, it seems... Well, yeah, if it was not, it would probably violate some codes.
That's true.
Yeah.
"We're creating chaos with love," she says. "There's nothing bad, nothing over the top. It's something simple and fun."
Yeah. Well, hey, we can all get down with that.
Yeah.
Soak in our pants.
Oh, man. Oh, it was a little too late on that one.
It reminds me, it's kind of like it's like a World Naked Bike Ride light, because you're not naked and there's no bikes.
Yeah.
But
it's just about my speed there.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Totally. And ride in the Max.
I'll call up Emily Finch. We can have a beer. Well, she'll have a beer.
Sounds like a plan.
Hey, we got mail.
It's a good dance. There's the mail dance.
You can't see this, folks, but I was just dancing on the couch. Well, sitting on the
dancing
couch.
In your pants.
Dancing in my... You can dance. You can dance in your pants. From listener Chris, who donated. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
This is a two-part donation, part to be used towards rental on Vimeo. Oh, we're supposed to do that this afternoon.
Okay, we'll do that next week.
of riding bikes with the Dutch. Perhaps you can share a video review on the podcast.
We will.
The remaining amount can be used for beer or whatever your heart desires. Although I'm in Arcata, your show helps me feel like part of me is in Portland once a week. A good thing. I look forward to coming up possibly in March to visit with my fairly new Brompton.
Yeah.
From Clever Cycles.
Oh, yeah.
Happy 2014, Sprocket Brothers.
Happy New Year.
Thank you very much.
Should all acquaintance be forgot? We're not in a bar, right?
That's
it's not
right.
Bad luck. Okay. Yeah. No, I was going to say the feeling like part of me is in Portland once a week. That could be a bad thing if you feel like, where are my legs? Or suddenly I'm missing some vital organs. Where are they? They're in Portland. I guess that's how it could be a bad thing. So it's a good thing that he feels like part of him is in Portland.
Once a week, I'm missing an arm.
Yeah, excellent. And yes.
Albany Tweed Ride. The Sprocket Podcast wants to know what you would do with a bicycle in space. Their answer. Deliver coffee and tea to astronauts.
Yeah, I like that it's tea. That's
we don't really think about having tea. Get a lot of tea
in space.
We've had tea drinkers here, but not a lot.
Yeah,
and we don't really think about it.
Yeah.
As much.
Well, that's a good answer.
But Portland is kind of a tea.
It could be.
Town.
Yeah, there's a couple tea shops.
Yeah, yeah, and they're all like really classy. And Stash Tea is.
That's true. They're here. So is Tazo,
which
is the Starbucks brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I believe someone I know dumpstered a lot of tea from Tazo at one point.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. It can be done.
And speaking of our contest, we'll edit that out. We won't edit that out.
Right. No. Speaking of our contest.
Speaking of the contest, Johnny K adds his story. Pretzel thief.
That's me.
I wonder if I could eat pretzels while riding a surly moonlander on the moon in space on my tract of land that I purchased from lunarlandowner.com. Have you gone to there, by the way?
Yet. No, have you?
I haven't yet either. We should do this.
All right, I'm getting myself an acre soon.
I may not win the contest, but hey, it would be fun getting to the moon, getting the moon dust out of my derailleur, not to mention my shorts. At least you would not have to worry about scraping your knees. Anyway, while I'm up on the moon in space, I will let you know what Captain Crunch thinks of the Sprocket Podcast and when I get back and have eaten all of Brock's stolen pretzels. Now to get back, I will have to circle the moon on the surly moonlander, wide open, and ramp off one of the meteor impact craters in the direction of the Earth. Upon re-entry, I would have a nice fairing on the handlebars with bar mitts for insulation. To slow my descent, I would have to use a Caritas duck's back rain cape and touchdown in the middle of the Colorado River.
I love this.
As I float down the river and I end up in the Gulf of California, where I run into Connor and he said, "Hey, I see you have some pretzels in your beard." And I said, "I got these from Brock." And he said he let me introduce you to my police officer friend. And now my trips to the moon in space is now over. So don't steal other people's pretzels, and you could keep roaming space on your surly moonlander with a fairing, bar mitts, and a Caritas duck's back rain cape, and could win the Sprocket Podcast contest.
That's a pretty good entry.
That's
you got a couple more weeks until Aaron's done with the zine to match that.
Good thing I'm a slow reader, folks.
I like that. I never thought about the physics of how you would get back from the moon using.
I liked. He's like
spent a lot of thought.
I gotta slingshot my way back around here. And,
not around the sun though. That would put you back in time.
That's right. Yeah. And then you have to like get a what is it, a humpback whale?
That's right. Yeah.
Bring it back.
Exactly.
To
yeah.
Whatever future.
Right. Because they're the only ones that can talk to the probe.
The Stickman writes, quick improv to tow a shopping cart for my fiance. Connected my two key clips. Not a bad trailer for $30.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah, totally.
Also, here's a new one for you. Staffing agency told me this week that I was turned down for a job because I ride a bike. Irony is that it's for convention work. Doing same job now just for this week as a temp. Takes me less than 20 minutes to get to work, lock up, and be ready to go. Everyone who drives has to be at work an hour early just to pay for parking. Leaving Or no, he says pray for parking, but maybe he meant pray. I don't know. Maybe.
They might have to pray for parking. It might be hard to find.
Leaving work, they have to fight traffic.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is really interesting. And I was thinking, if it was public transit, I understand the bus routes are kind of like circuitous and not necessarily direct. There was a story about when my mom was in Vegas and she got lost after she took a bus ride somewhere and she didn't know how to get back to her hotel.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And so apparently she like met some folks and they drove her home. But I think it's a common misperception that if you ride a bike, it's not dependable transportation. And I remember 10, 12, 15 years ago when I first moved to Portland, UPS would not hire you if you rode a bike. Like you had to own a car
really
to get there for the late shift shift.
Yeah, it's on a lot of applications that I've filled out. You know, like, do you have dependable transportation? And then in parentheses, like, bike does not count.
Right, you know? Right. Which is bullshit.
Oh, yeah.
In a lot of ways.
It's total bullshit.
But I can also see how, like, if you don't have a well-maintained bike, it's very possible you could have, you know, like, flat tires or mechanical failures
or like,
of some kind.
You know, where I grew up in Michigan, it snows.
Like, right.
Obviously, you can't ride, you know, your standard road bike over there, which is what everybody thinks about when...
Totally.
Or everybody pictures when, you know, you say, yes, I have a bike. They think, oh, he's got, like, some crappy...
Rusty 10-speed. Yeah. Nothing against Squin 10 speeds. I do love those. But a rusty, crappy one. Yeah.
That's bad.
So anyway, sorry, Stickman.
Yeah, sucks.
If we could change it, we would.
Dr. Jeff Twitters, FYI, Sprocket Podcast is the finest piece of broadcasting entertainment to be found on this side of the Rockies. Listen to all of them.
So nice of him.
Dr. Jeff.
I feel actually kind of bad now because I responded to that saying, damn skippy we are. And I think maybe that's like more arrogant than I wanted it to be. Something like that.
He twitters everybody else. I take
it
back.
Exactly.
Listener Jim on Facebook. Always look forward to your shows.
Thanks Jim. Thanks. Thanks for being on board.
Wow. 2014 coming,
seriously,
coming out with a lot of compliments.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, we aim to produce a good, enjoyable talk show about bikes, trains and transit and simpler living.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about just quick things about 2014 here.
2014.
I'm getting stoked on living more simply.
Yeah. Honestly, are you?
Whatever. Yeah. And whatever steps that may entail.
What can you cut out?
Yes. I'm open to suggestion. What can I cut out?
And be happy or maybe happier.
And you know, what am I doing that's overcomplicating my life?
Hmm.
You know, how can I?
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm taking these next few weeks just really examining that. And
it's a good idea.
Coming back with a list of things that I can change
or
augment.
Yeah. Nice. I would like to spend more time in nature. It's hard to get out there, and especially in the bad weather, it doesn't sound like fun to go camping, but I would like to be in nature because I think it's restorative and good for me. Good for my head.
Incidentally, yesterday, housemate Sean came home from riding the Leif Erikson.
Is that right?
Yeah. Bike was like covered in mud. He said he had a great time. So
yeah.
Even if it's inclement weather, you're still going to have a good time.
It's a good idea. Yeah. I like this. Yeah. And I'm aiming to reduce distractions again, trying to figure out how I can use electronics without letting electronics use me. Yeah. Well, hey, it's a good show.
There it is.
Should we call it the end?
Let's do this.
All right. Again, if anybody wants some stickers, get in touch. We'll make it happen. And like I said, if you've already donated like any time in history, just send me your name and your address and I'll mail them to you myself. Otherwise, you know, get in touch and look for them around town. Peel them off of a bike rack. All right.
Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests and or drinks. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or call and leave us a message at 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Thanks to Herbert for our headline, Sonder. And thanks again to Shadowfoot. I think I said Shadow Fox.
I said Shadow week. Fox as well. I was wrong.
Yeah.
It's Shadowfoot.
Shadowfoot for his reoccurring donation.
Apparently, it also can be used to refer to hobbits. Bye.
Wholesome fun was the goal when over 50 people took to downtown Portland without pants. I had no idea this was in the works. Oh, please tell me this is going to be an annual thing.
You ready to talk about things?
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
Let's ruin some other people's childhood.
There's a pull quote.
A Sprocket Studios production.